Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Oregon is pushing this, the UK is backing away from it, and 117 staffers are suing because of it. We're going to be talking about vaccine passports on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, Oregon is pushing these freedom-killing vaccine passports. Now, wherever you are on the COVID shots, really doesn't matter. What does matter is that I think we all should be against these so-called vaccine passports. These are either paper or more likely electronic, and Oregon provides for both. And they are saying that if you have a vaccine passport, you can show it, then you can have more freedom in Oregon. And in this particular context, you can actually take off your mask. And Washington State is saying something similar. If you have vaccine passports, then you can have greater capacity in your churches if you segregate people based upon their vaccination or injection of the COVID shot, based upon whether they got it or whether they didn't have it.
You know, New York rolled it out earlier this year in March as well, and health officials in Orange County, California are also implementing it. So this is happening.
And you know, the thing about it, here's the good news. Those Orange County, California officials, yes, they did implement it. And what happened? The people rose up and they pushed back and they said, no, not in our county. And as a result, Orange County had to vote it down. And the chairman of Orange County said, we can't get any work done because you're bothering us so much.
And that's what needs to happen.
They said, we will not have vaccine passports. And that was because the people spoke up.
And that's what needs to happen in every state if the governor is in the legislature trying to push this.
That's right. And also, you know, we're seeing this happen with regards to private industry. And so what we see, we've been messaging around the country. And when we began messaging, nobody was talking about this. In fact, we actually began messaging on this last year. We were the first or one of the first in the whole country to message on the upcoming vaccine passports. And this was in April of 2020. This was long before we had Pfizer and Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson shots.
And you know, Dr. Naomi Wolf, who's an author and Rhodes Scholar, she was sounding the alarm early on as well. And I don't think people are really paying attention until now.
Now she is one of the strong voices. She says, I cannot say this forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passports sound, she says, like a fine thing if you don't know what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem.
And you know, she's typically been on the left, but lifelong Democrat, always voted that way. But she sees the importance of this regarding our freedom. And she's come to the middle saying, we need to all work together on this.
Well, good news is that the United Kingdom, UK, has said that they're scrapping their vaccine passport plan. They actually had announced that they were going to move forward with it, but they just now recently said they are scrapping it. Government spokesman said in an emailed statement to Reuters that they're still in review process, but they also said there is no way that this will actually occur.
That's really good news.
So that is good news. And here's some of the problems. You know, like I said, we started messaging on this last year, and we really started messaging on it this year. And it's not just the government. Obviously, the government shouldn't mandate it, but neither should employers. Why?
Right.
Because it's under the emergency use authorization, number one, which means we don't have the data regarding the mid or long-term effects of this. That's why it's under EUA. And under EUA, you cannot coerce or force this. Now, the EEOC came out with an article or a statement, a new guidance, and some of the media misreported what the EEOC said. In fact, I saw a USA Today article. The headline said, that employers can require the vaccine. Well, that's not true.
No.
And then when you look at the body of it, they say, well, EEOC says employers can provide incentives so long as they're not coercive. In other words, employers cannot require the injection, although EEOC says you can provide an incentive. Some do that by virtue of, I've seen restaurants do this by saying, well, if you get the shot, we're not going to require you to wear a mask. That may be an incentive. Now, EEOC, again, that's not a court of law. That's just some administrative bureaucrat that's likely getting pressure from the Biden administration. But EEOC has never said that employers can require the shot. In fact, employers cannot require the shot because it's still in the experimental and investigational stage. So now we see lawsuits happening. A group of 117 unvaccinated staffers from the Houston Methodist Hospital filed a lawsuit recently seeking to avoid the hospital's coronavirus vaccine mandate, saying that it is unlawful for their bosses to require the shots. The staffers join a growing list of employees that are challenging compulsory shots of these COVID injections. They say that they don't want to be, quote, guinea pigs, close quote. And, you know, they know that, in fact, frankly, the testing phase is ongoing now because we never had the adequate testing phase for all the different kinds of permutations of this shot.
Right.
Never had it because it was too short. We didn't have pregnant women in the testing phase. We didn't have young people in the testing phase. Didn't have a lot of people with certain kinds of allergies in the testing phase as well.
And you know what's happening with these staffers is a great example. You know, and that's the courage is contagious. And so it takes, you know, groups of staffers to say, we're going to sue, not to be afraid, but we're going to sue whether your business is trying to push this. But even these incentives, that's not fair either to say, well, we'll give you a half a day off, or we'll give you a gift card, or we'll give you a promotion, or whatever the incentive is if you get the COVID shot. That's wrong, too.
Yeah, it is very wrong. I think, in fact, that is coercive.
Yeah.
Because you're then making a distinction between your employees. So I think you can't mandate them, but and the EEOC agrees with that, but I think that even incentives are crossing the line. I think clearly when you look at schools, universities, colleges requiring the students or staff to get injected, I think that crosses the line as well.
I've even heard of churches where they're segregating people, vaccinated, unvaccinated. I mean, in church, where you should have the most religious freedom of anywhere, that is wrong.
That is wrong. It's wrong to do that. And it's, frankly, I think, dangerous because we monitor the CDC VAERS log, and every week there is a shocking increase of the number of adverse reactions that occur. There's hundreds of deaths, new deaths that occur every week. Miscarriages are skyrocketing. We're also seeing problems that are coming about with regards to not only people who have taken the COVID shots, deaths, heart attacks, blood clots. There's a 17-year-old boy who has like 3 blood-brain clots after taking the shot. Of all people, the young people are the least at risk of COVID. We also see a surprising number of people that are in the what's called breakthrough category, meaning they've already gotten the injection, but then they get COVID after they get the injection at some period of time after they get the injection. The CDC doesn't want you to know about all that. They used to report all the breakthrough cases, but now what they're doing is reporting all the breakthrough cases only when they're hospitalized, not when they get COVID. So there are questions about the efficacy of the shot. Does it really inoculate you from COVID? We're seeing a surprising number of breakthrough cases. In fact, in places around the world where you're seeing an increase in COVID, one-third of those in many of these nations have already been shot. One of them, I've already gotten the vaccine. So there are questions there. But there's also questions about transmission. There's questions about people who have the injection transmitting the adverse reactions to people who have not had the injections And it's not limited to women bleeding and other kinds of things, but it's also involving other kinds of things, rash and other kinds of adverse reactions that are being transmitted. The bottom line is we should never have a forced vaccine passport, whether it's COVID or anything else. So I encourage you to help us keep the momentum up because a number of states are pushing back, but we need more. The states need to be the firewall of freedom. Go to lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. Fax the governors and legislators, sign the petition, and call lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.